Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here's McKinnon. McKinnon cutting wide off the booster. Centering pass redirect by Lekkonen.
It sounded like TNT with the call. I don't know. You drowned out by the noise in the background, but Stars lose 7-4 as the Avs force a game 7 right here at the American Airlines Center tomorrow night. Thankfully, it won't be a 9 o'clock faceoff, although it's on a weekend, so I guess it doesn't matter. But it'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop. Should drop on time because it's the only game of the night.
That's the hope. The hope is that it drops on time, and the hope is that you don't have a couple of, you know, fluky goals like you did the other night.
There was some last night, yep.
And like you actually get the top line to continue to play like they did yesterday. Because that first line deserves all the praise in the world. They were so good last night. Hintz and Rantanen were fantastic. Both of them score 4 points. Both of them just dominant, especially in that second period. I thought Otter played well overall. I mean, I don't think he had just a lights-out type of performance. Obviously, with 7 goals, it sounds ridiculous. But, I mean, you're talking about two that shouldn't happen, and then 2 empty netters. And so, overall, I thought he played really well given the chances that Colorado was getting. It's just it didn't turn out to be enough. They got a ton of shots on goal. When you get a ton of shots like that, you're going to get some of the fluky ones, and they were able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, they were. So 7-4. Score's not indicative of the game, obviously, with the empty netters, but also the fluky goal. Stars should have won last night. After they played a tremendous second period. They were not great in the first period at all. Second period, they were, I would be hard pressed to find a team that was that would have been better than them in that second period, the way they played. They were energetic. They were playing fast. That was as good as you could play.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be impossible to beat when they're playing like that. That is them at their very best, and them taking advantage of all that talent that they have. It's just yesterday you weren't able to get more of the lucky bounces, and you weren't necessarily getting the same type of play from your second and third lines, and you weren't getting, you know, much defensively out of Wyatt Johnston like you normally expect. You weren't getting much defensively out of Matt Duchene. So it's you're just kind of packing it in, going back home and saying, all right, let's hope Pete DeBoer keeps up that game 7 streak.
My chair broke, so I had to stand. I'm having bad chair luck this week.
You really are.
Yeah, just the chair busted on me. It is already starting. It is already starting for Luka Doncic. He's getting called out by his coach. Rob Pelinka, J.J. Redick had a little post-season wrap-up press conference where they were sitting right next to the same kind of setup that they had with the Luka introduction. But J.J. said, we need to get into, quote, championship shape. And some of the guys need to be into championship shape, and he was asked to expand on that.
It's something that we'll build out over the next couple weeks with our player development coaches, our performance staff, our training staff. We obviously recognize it's a long season, and some guys have routines, and it's not that we're looking to completely break routines, but we do want to have a program in place for each guy so that when they come back in mid-August, September. We can build off of that and start training camp in a really good spot conditioning wise.
Already getting called out. It took 40 games. Not even.
Can't just be him, though.
Can't be him. Just him.
We're talking about the fact that, I mean, he can talk about championship shape and it's starting in October or whatever. Well, Luka wasn't there with you guys in October. So there's got to be shots there across the roster. But yeah, Luka's obviously going to be the headline of this. I still think that what you saw in this series is reflective in a lot of ways of J.J. Redick.
J.J. was a problem.
Luka wasn't good enough on defense. Austin Reeves is a bad defender.
Luka's a bad defensive player. And here's the difference, okay? And this is why this might work for him. Because when he said, I know guys have routines, that's a shot directly at Luka, right? That's he goes home, he goes to Slovenia, and he does his thing. But the difference between the Mavs and the Lakers is the Lakers will be able to get Luka to do this because they're the Lakers. And they have no problem telling him, look, this is how it is. They're not scared of losing him.
Mm-hmm.
We acted as a fan base, as an scared of losing him. We were not gonna try to hack him off because we know the reality is that when you're not the Lakers, you have to treat players a little differently because we're not the destination. They're the destination.
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly paranoid about him leaving, though, because they even said, well, there's no guarantee he was going to resign.
No guarantee.
Yes, he was. He was going to resign here.
So if they do lose him because they hack him off, they'll just find another one because they're the Lakers. And they know that. They know that they'll just find somebody else. And also, number two, and this is more important, they're not also just going to move on from him. They're going to be patient. They're going to wait this thing out. They're going to give him the Supermax or whatever. I guess he can't get the Supermax. They're going to give him the most money extension they can give him, and they're going to wait this thing out. And if he turns 30 and he's still not doing it, then they'll make a decision on moving on, which is what the Mavericks should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
But they're not going to sit here and like, they will acquiesce to a superstar athlete like with LeBron and drafting Bronny, but
everybody does.
Everybody does to an extent.
Yeah.
They're also not going to be sitting there petrified of losing him, because if they lose him, they know it's much easier for the Lakers to find somebody to replace him than it would be for us.
Now, this has really fallen on Luka in a lot of ways, and the fallout is how the narrative has centered around it. Did you see Nick Wright and who he's putting this collapse on, quote unquote? He's putting it on Redick.
Well, it's not on LeBron, I'll tell you that.
And this is what he wrote about Redick yesterday. We now have a 20-plus year history of J.J. Redick being wound so tight he doesn't perform in the biggest spots. He was a bad tournament player. Jerry West reminded us he wasn't a great NBA playoff performer in the NBA. He might not be the best pressure performer. Is that fair?
No, he
was not a great tournament player. That was true.
I'm going to have to go back and look at his tournament stats. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. I don't remember.
I mean, he just
25 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, he was not a great tournament player. If you look at the way he played in the tournaments, it was a drop in his play.
Well, is it not a drop in everybody's play?
Not like his. I mean, you got in 03-04, he shot 35% from three. And in 02-03, he shot 28% from three. And that was this guy who's a 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, I had to go look. Yeah, I had to check it.
I mean, his shooting out. It collapsed. And we're talking about a guy who was averaging, you know, was a big-time 20-point-per-game type of scorer who then in the tournaments would average, like, 12.
16.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
was not a good shooter. He had shown he was not a good shooter in those big moments. Now, the playoff numbers in the NBA, I don't know if he was never, like, a superstar at the NBA level. So I don't know if like, him performing poorly in the playoffs, was it a drop? I don't know. For his career, he was a three-point shooter. He's 41% in the regular season. In the postseason, he dropped to 37. So 10 points per game in the playoffs versus a 13-point-per-game scorer in the regular season. So, yeah, a slight drop, but more minutes. He had more volume. Yeah,
and you should probably be dropping in the playoffs anyway, just because the intensity of the game, the defense picks up. So I understand that aspect of it. I don't know. It's tough for me to say that, you know, he choked in this series as a coach. He just, I think he
Man, his rotations were bad.
His rotations were bad.
And that's a big part of what he's supposed to do.
But I don't think that's choking. Like, you know, I think he was just an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, that could be, but I mean, it also just says, like, if he was paralyzed by the moment and not able to adjust, that's mm-hmm. a problem. Tone P on the YouTube says, the Lakers want AD back because Luka is lazy AF on defense. I still don't think the Lakers would.
The Lakers
wouldn't do that trade over.
Nobody would absolutely still trade for Luka.
Including the Mavericks. They wouldn't do the trade over either.
No, the Mavericks, I don't think.
Nico's convinced of it. And just because Workout Mott said, I'm about to bring up Nico and AD. Since I just brought up Nico, I'll also just say the name AD. So there you go, Workout Mott.
Charles Barkley also coming at Luka, saying he can't guard nobody.
At some point, as a player, you can't have people saying that about you. You're an elite player, and you're getting ready to get $300-400 million. You can't say you got to get in shape to earn that money. You can't get on TV every day, and we all do it. He can't guard anybody.
That's strong. And Barkley also, when he was watching the replay, you know, when Luka went out in the second quarter grabbing mm-hmm. his back, Barkley said, like a good vet, your back only hurts on defense. It don't hurt on offense. See there, doesn't hurt there. But man, it hurts on defense. They went at him every single time. So Barkley seemed like he was calling him out for being a little bit of a fake.
Yeah.
And then Kendrick Perkins yesterday on ESPN called Luka the worst defensive star in NBA history.
Look, I saw somebody say he's a cone. He's a street cone.
Sure. Yeah, you just got to dribble around him.
Yeah, dribble around him. That's mm-hmm. all you got to do.
But that's always been like
it's the thing. Always
every
been.
Playoff people act stunned that this is what he does. But
I get it. It's different now. He's with LA. Like the lights are on.
But they acted stunned last year.
I know.
And it's like, no, this is him.
This is him.
He doesn't play defense.
He does not play defense. More from Barkley now talking about the criticism of Nico.
A lot of the criticism for Nico I thought was a little unfair because yeah, they made it to the finals last year with Kyrie and Luka. But that team was mediocre until Nico went out and got PJ, Gafford,
and Lively.
Well, I think one of them was there. And that took them to the next level. Right. So Nico did a fabulous job last year. We can talk about the trade this year. But last year, Luka's a hell of a player. Kyrie's a hell of a player. But until the Mavericks, you go back and look, they were in the bottom of the pile until he made those trades and got all those big guys. But at some point, you just can't go out and get big guys because he can't play no damn defense. He got to learn to play defense and get in shape.
Okay. Little convenient. Last 2 weeks ago, Charles, you were also talking to us about Nico. I'm not liking Charles's inconsistency. It seems like Charles is becoming more and more the guy who like, yeah, look, after the Lakers get eliminated and Luka's getting roundly criticized, well, look, Nico took a little bit too much. Charles, shut up.
I'll tell you this, though. My favorite breakfast is waffles.
And that's what he is.
I love a good waffle. And I love when people waffle. I like to waffle myself.
972 says, or 940 said, they all bashed Dirk at his age in his career, too. That's
true.
They
did.
This was the stage of his career where Dirk was talked about as just
they called him the worst. No D.
Irk, he's got no D. Yeah, and it was always the when Perk says that Luka's the worst defensive star in hit. That was the kind of thing people used to say about Dirk. People said that Dirk was just, they wouldn't even give him the credit of being a street cop.
No.
They would just say he wasn't there.
Right, he was not even out there. And he became a good rebounder. He became a much better defensive player. And he became somebody who was in, but he was better conditioned.
Yeah. 201. Charles was in shape for about two seasons of his career.
Yeah, the first two.
Charles was, that's the funny thing. Charles was also one of these guys who was like a career out of shape guy.
Well, and also like I don't like to look at somebody's body and say whether they're in shape or not based on their body structure. Like some people just have a little bit of thickness to them. Like Harden is showing that like he's never going to be cut. But he could play a full game.
He did yesterday. He played 47 minutes. Did you see, we talked about, speaking of Barkley and him being in or out of shape, you know, we talked about Gobert having 27 and 24 the other night mm-hmm. and how, well, what a crazy stat line. You know, there's only been four other people in playoff history to have that stat line. Gobert now joins Hakeem, Kareem, Shaq, and Barkley.
To have 27 and 24?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they
one
have
of these.
Rudy's gonna
one
be
of these things
Rudy's
is not like the other.
Exactly. Rudy's one of these just trivia answers.
Yeah.
Oh wow. That doesn't seem right.
No, it does not seem right. It's Sean and RJ here. It's 105 Three, the fan. Good morning, everyone. The Cowboys going longest yard for the next wide receiver.
Ooh.
Ticket giveaway, the commercial-free expressway. And we empty the junk drawer. It is the expressway. It is commercial-free. And it is next on the fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Milner checks second, fires home, and the pitch is lined towards the middle off of Simeon's glove on a dive into center field, a base hit. Schumann rounds third, he comes home and scores. Paredes stops at second, a line drive RBI single for Jacob Wilson on a ball that Marcus Simeon almost was able to snag with a dive.
Sandler with the call. A's, 3-0 winners over the Rangers. That made it 2-0, and 2 runs right now feels like 10.
Yeah.
When it's this range, the way this Ranger team is hitting, or not hitting, I should say. Jeffrey Springs was tremendous for Oakland or Sacramento, whatever. 6 innings, 2 hits, just 1 strikeout. I mean, he only threw 68 pitches to get through 6 innings. Very DeGrom-like from the other night. The only difference is that he only struck out 1 guy. He didn't miss bats. He just missed the fat part of the bat. Maybe they should have used a torpedo bat yesterday. Maybe they should switch torpedo bats, or maybe they're using them. They should go back.
Have those died completely?
So Passan had an article on this. I'll have to go pull it up. But he was talking about how the torpedo bat has completely fallen off. And obviously,
that was quick.
What?
That was quick.
Yeah. So the Yankees were the team that everybody kind of used as the litmus for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers, so that opening series, you had Jazz Chisholm had 3 homers, Austin Wells had 2, Volpe had 2, Bellinger had 1. They combined for 19 RBIs between the four of them. Since then, and that again, that was one weekend. Since then, Chisholm has 4 home runs, Wells has 3, Volpe has 3, Bellinger has 2. None of them have more than 15 RBIs. Like, and we're talking about those RBI numbers were in 12 plate appearances. Now we're looking at over 100. So, yes, they have fallen off.
And
it did not erase the weaknesses of hitters. Pitchers have just pitched differently to them.
And Aaron Judge is just using the regular bat, and he's hitting just fine.
Yeah, I think he's doing all right.
No issues for Aaron Judge. Yeah, what are his numbers up to currently? Aaron Judge on the season now is hitting .427 and has a .1282 OPS. there's nothing but bold print on his baseball reference
doing?
Slide.
What's going on? His slugging percentage is .761.
His OPS plus is .262.
.262?
That's his OPS plus. Which baseline average is 100. So think about, he is more than 2.5 times better than the average league hitter.
That's kind of crazy.
And think about how good a league average hitter is. His WAR is already up to 3.
Already?
It's 3.
And so he's on pace for an 18 WAR?
Yep.
Good job.
I mean, he's been disgusting.
Yeah, he really has. And then he'll hit .170 in the playoffs.
He leads the majors in wins above replacement, runs, hits, home runs, RBIs, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, and OPS.
He might win another MVP. Might get another one.
He's only been intentionally walked 4 times.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
That's really super. They don't really have anybody else.
Like, he led baseball with 20 last year.
And they had Juan Soto hitting ahead of him. You know, and now there's no Stanton. So I'm surprised they're not
walking because Stanton just got moved to the 60.
Right.
He just got moved to the 60.
So he's out till, what, June?
Mm-hmm.
At the earliest?
What do you think the year was when Bonds had his most intentional walks?
04?
Yeah, how many do you think he got?
Did he get like 80?
120.
Most guys don't have 120 walks in a year.
He was intentionally walked 120. He didn't have another year that was close. Other year, 02, he got intentionally walked 68 times, and 03, he got 61. That was as close as he ever got to 120.
I'll bet you he had more walks than hits that year.
Yeah, he had 232 walks to 135 hits.
No, no, I mean intentional walks.
Oh, close. No, 120 close. To 135.
Yeah. Ooh.
He almost finished it. His career, he had 2,935 hits. He had 2,558 walks.
That's insane. Like, that's insane. I'm surprised they're not doing that with Judge. Maybe they should. But are the Cowboys going longest yard for their next wide receiver?
Maybe they should. Maybe they should. You remember the name Henry Ruggs?
Yes.
Yes, Henry Ruggs, who has been away from the NFL for a couple years now after he was involved in a really tragic situation in Las Vegas where there was a car accident where a woman died. It was November 2nd, 2021. This is right before the Cowboys played him that year. He had alcohol in his system in the early morning hours.
A lot, right?
I don't remember how high it was. It doesn't say here in the article how much alcohol was in his system, but he was drunk driving, and his Corvette hit a 23-year-old woman who died in the wreck along with her dog. Mm-hmm. Ruggs is now 26 years old. He pled guilty to one count of driving under the influence, resulting in death, a felony, and another count of vehicular manslaughter, a misdemeanor. So that was in 2021 when that accident happened. He ended up going to prison. He is due for parole. He's first eligible for parole on August 5th, 2026, so right at the start of training camp next year. And Josh Jacobs, his old teammate, says he's still working. He was on the Pivot podcast. He said, I still talk to Henry. Henry still calls me. I still help him out. We're still connected. I know his whole family. He's from Alabama. He played with me at Bama. His mama and them taught me how to bowl. Keeping up with him and hearing him talk, it brings me spirits because he's always positive. He said he's positive about everything. He's training. They let him train and things like that. So I'm like, when you come out, man, I don't know if you'll get a chance. I've been talking to some people for him. They've been saying a couple teams are willing to give him a chance. I'm like, when you get that chance, man, you better not ever. Don't look back and prove to yourself and prove to everybody that one decision doesn't define you and who you are as a man. So the question then is, because how long was Plexico Burress in prison?
I don't know.
A couple years, came back, played in the NFL again. Michael Vick obviously went to prison, came back, played in the NFL again.
Mm-hmm.
So is Henry Ruggs the next one to, when he gets out, he'll be 27 years old, I believe.
Assuming he, I mean, obviously he hasn't, I don't know what kind of training you can do in prison in terms of like, I know he's training, but like, you know, your nutrition. More goes into training than just physically lifting weights and doing wind sprints. I mean, the nutrition aspect of it. And everything.
Yeah, it's going to take time, but he would be, if he's in shape and he comes back and he gets into a program, you're talking about 27, 28 years old. He's back. He's paid his debt to society. Would you be okay with him coming here? Would you say, I can't have that?
Look, I've been pretty consistent. The moment the courts, I only go by what the courts say. I would have signed Trevor Bauer because the courts say that I can. They said there's nothing we're not going to prosecute him. Or if you go to jail and you come out and you get out of jail and the courts say that you've paid your debt to society and you're free, then to me, you're free to work. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm trying to look and see what the numbers were. So Plexico Burress was away from the game for 2 years. He came back, played with the Jets, had 45 catches, 600 yards, 8 touchdowns, and then didn't really do anything much after that. Michael Vick came back and definitely played at a high level for a little bit. Michael Vick had missed 2 seasons, 07 and 08. We're talking about Ruggs missing 5 by the time that he would be back.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Vick came back and played pretty well in 2010, made the Pro Bowl, was second in AP Offensive Player of the Year, and played good football overall for the Eagles. But if you've paid your debt to society, you can do it. Over there on the YouTube, True Texan says, yes, bring Trevor to the Rangers. It's interesting you bring up Trevor Bauer. His latest court filing against Lindsey Hill, the woman that he was involved with, that he was countersuing, has stalled from the Los Angeles Times. Trevor Bauer pitches halfway around the world these days. On the day before he was scheduled to make his second start of the season, he signed a sworn statement in support of a lawsuit he filed last year in Los Angeles Superior Court. The final line of the statement said, executed on this 11th day of April 2025, Yokohama, Japan. Bauer has not pitched in the major leagues since playing for the Dodgers in 2021, when a woman named Lindsay Hill accused him of assault. His latest court fight against Hill stalled on Wednesday, and he remains tangled in a legal battle in Arizona as well. That dude, he continues to just churn out content on his Trevor Bauer page or on Momentum. That's one of the big things he does right now, where I've had a bunch of it suggested for me on YouTube recently. I don't know why, but like stuff's popped up, like his content of him pitching with a baseball from every decade or whatever. So it's like he's throwing a 1930s ball that they got off eBay and different things like that. He creates some really interesting content. It's just the biggest problem with Bauer.
He's a jerk.
He's a jerk. That's honestly the biggest reason why people aren't willing to give him a shot, I feel
He's a jerk. He's willing to play for free, basically. Nobody wants anything to do with him. This is a broader topic. I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer, like, there's a moral.
Bauer, Ruggs, like, the idea of just how you handle a situation like that.
I'll tell you this. Like, I don't think Major League Baseball should have done what they did with Bauer for a lot of reasons. I don't think you should police someone's bedroom activity if it's legal. If it's illegal, then police.
Well, and at the time, there was an accusation that it was not legal.
There was, and that's fine, right? But, you know, you start getting, the court said it was, the court said there was nothing to it, or at least they couldn't convict something to it. So for me, baseball had to say at that point, okay, we have to move on because the court said there's nothing to it. At that point, you're just policing someone's bedroom. However, it is icky. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It is icky. So the WNBA topic I was gonna say earlier, Kennedy Carter, she's the one that like that body checked Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, said B and hit her with the elbow.
Okay, she averaged like 18 points a game last year in the WNBA. She went to the China League because a lot of the WNBA players play overseas in the offseason to make some more cash. Mm-hmm. She was the MVP of the China League.
Mm-hmm.
She can't get a job in the WNBA. She's being
because of that.
They think so. She averaged 17 a game last year. She's obviously a good player. So she's playing in the Mexican League now. She's obviously being blackballed. I got a problem. Like, I have much more of a problem with that than I do with baseball saying no to Trevor Bauer. I get it. Trevor Bauer's icky. Nobody likes him. He's a jackass.
But if he's been cleared, also think he should be.
I think it's okay. Like, if you want to sign him, I would be okay with signing him. But I understand somebody being like, kind of icky, man.
Let us know on the Franklin Injury Attorney's Fintechs. Let's say 2026, Henry Ruggs is paroled. Henry Ruggs, Trevor Bauer. Not pick either or, just would you sign either? Would you sign both?
They both go back to the player they were before.
Yeah. Now, Ruggs definitively did something wrong, something he's shown contrition for, something he would have paid his debt for by the court's standards. Bauer is somebody who had never been convicted. In fact, I believe the opposite was shown, was that he was like it wasn't just a thing where the lawsuit was dropped. They dismissed it. There wasn't enough evidence to support what it had been claimed about him. But he's a jerk.
He's
considered a clubhouse cancer. And so the idea is people don't want to give him a chance. So
nobody likes him. Nobody likes him.
Bauer and Ruggs. How would you approach those two? Would you be okay with Bauer on the Rangers? Would you be okay with Ruggs on the Cowboys? Or do you just say, I can't have either of them? Some of the answers that we've gotten.
I'd be fine with both. I get why you wouldn't want to sign either one, though.
Some of the answers we've gotten on the Franklin Injury Attorney's Fantext, 615. If he should be allowed to play after prison, then why not Isaiah Bond from Texas, who we've referenced? Isaiah Bond can be allowed. Nobody's told him he can't. It's just nobody's signing him. 469. His debts are just a few years. Wow, he should get 25. 214. Only bring in Trevor Bauer to the Rangers if he can hit. Somebody else says, 817, absolutely not. He killed someone and made no attempt to render aid. 972 says, take a flyer on Ruggs. Low risk, high reward. 432 says, what an insult that would be to the family of the woman killed, giving him millions of dollars. And 817 says, yes, sign both. So would you be, you've said you would be in favor of Bauer here.
I'm in favor of Bauer here.
Would you be in favor of Ruggs?
I'd be fine with that. Look, man, I'm not going to, do I think that Henry Ruggs should have gone to prison for longer? Yeah. That's not my decision to make, though. right? That's not my decision to make. I for consistency purposes, I just basically go with what the courts say. If the courts say he's free, then to me, he's free. He paid their debt, his debt, as far as they were concerned. We put them in charge of that for a reason, so that's just how I approach it. So, yeah, I would sign both of them. I would feel Henry Ruggs made a mistake that a lot of people make. And they make that mistake not in, like, it doesn't actually kill somebody, but the mistake is getting behind the wheel when you've drank too much,
sure,
regardless. A lot of people make that mistake. The ones of us who don't get into an accident or get pulled over have an element to luck to them. It's a roulette kind of thing. But he did not render aid, right? And that was a problem.
Yeah, that was
the big
problem.
That's a moral lapse issue.
214 says Trevor Bauer isn't a major league pitcher anymore. I mean, literally he's not, but apparently doesn't think he's good enough. Somebody else said his numbers in the Japanese league are horrible. If you look at it, they're not horrible. So in 2023, Bauer started 24 games. He had a 287 ERA, 9 strikeouts to 2 walks. In 2024, he played in Mexico, 248 ERA in 14 starts, and it was 13 strikeouts to 2 walks. And so far in 5 starts in Japan, he's not been as dominant, but it's a 348 ERA and his 9 strikeouts to 2 walks. So, and those Japanese leagues are not slouches. Like, they've got some hitters over there.
I don't know which level of is it the big league, the main league, or is it like
it's the Japan Central League.
Okay, so it's not the Nippon Professional Baseball League.
It is still the one with, like, the Hiroshima Carp and teams like that, which they've got legitimate.
Good league.
They got former players in it, and they've got decent players. Yeah. It's the equivalent to good minor league ball, I think.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if he could still pitch, I'd give him a shot, but, you know, who knows what he's capable of right now.
I mean, it's worth at least kicking the tires on, though, isn't it?
I think so.
I would think that.
But no one's going to do it. They would have done it by now. I mean, have you seen a photo of him lately?
Of Bauer?
Bauer.
He's thinned out.
Oh,
he's
thinned out because last year he had a pooch.
So no, he's, I'll show you one of the videos during the break. He's all this video content he's producing for his YouTube page Momentum. He's looking thin. He's not as thin as he was maybe like Cleveland era. But he looks thinner than he did at the end with the Dodgers.
That's good. Because he put on the video I saw. This was probably when he was with in the Mexican league. He had put on some pounds.
Yeah, he's gotten his condition in order.
That's
now.
Good. That's good. I mean, he just needs to. Him and Lucas should go to the same. guy. Let's hook you up, Tolos.
All right, Tolos. That's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades play when they take on the Michigan Panthers Saturday, May 10th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
It's a Friday. It is the commercial-free expressway. This portion of the expressway is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, and that means it is time to open up the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Bobby, I'll start here. Luigi.
My boy.
Your boy Luigi has a musical out.
Really?
Now, Luigi is the, obviously, the alleged gunman. I can't even believe they're saying alleged. The gunman of the United Healthcare CEO, where he is on trial for shooting him, assassinating him. Well, there's a musical. Luigi the Musical is debuting in San Francisco on June 13th. It is a bold, campy, and unafraid take on the life and times of the man accused of perpetrating an assassination that left two young children without a father. It is already sold out.
Damn.
Luigi the Musical. And it's got it's a red banner, and the picture is him with his hood up and a backpack on and his gloves. So basically what he was using, what he was wearing the morning that he killed the United Healthcare CEO. It's, quote, a story of love, murder, and hash browns.
Hash browns?
Because that's what he was eating when...
why don't they throw eyebrows in there? Love, murder, hash browns, and eyebrows.
Yeah, like, are you gonna... If you hire... The person you get to play Luigi, like, they've got to have, like... You got to put fake eyebrows on them if they don't have those.
Yeah,
incredible eyebrows.
Yeah, you got to have them looking thick. What else is there? What would be some other really just terrible musical ideas?
I don't know, man. The fact that they've made this guy into a folk hero is kind of disturbing.
He's a dude. He has a bunch of people who are just in love with him. He's been getting love letters there in prison or as he's awaited trial. The prosecutor just got dismissed, I think, in the case. Dude,
they're going to find a way to get him off.
The prosecutor got dismissed because it was, it was accused that he had listened in on a phone call between the defense attorney and Luigi.
Oh, God.
And so they just got dismissed the other day. So there's like a whole new prosecutor on the case. So they've got their issues already. They've got some stuff that's problematic for them already.
Mm.
But I can't think of a worse musical idea.
No, I mean, I can't think of a worse one. This is pretty bad. I mean, you want to make one about Diddy?
Ooh, that'd be pretty bad. A Diddy musical.
Kanye now.
Kanye the musical might be sort of interesting. If you just said, if you followed his spiral down into, Nico the musical.
Oh my God.
Turn the Luka trade into a musical. I like that one.
The musical even makes light of convicted crypto fraudster Sam Bankman-Fried and Diddy, turning them into Luigi's wacky jailhouse companions. Real life cellmates by his side, he navigates friendship, justice, and the absurdity of viral fame.
It's pretty. That's pretty bad. I got something for you here in the Junk Drawer Chop. This is, we talked recently about is Jax Ulbrich the dumbest person we've seen on social media recently? Like, what are you doing putting your face out there for the Deion Sanders prank call?
He wasn't on the call.
He's sitting right there in view.
He's sitting there and he's in the video.
He's in the video. And then they posted it on social media like dummies. He has been surpassed this week. A bar in Tempe, Arizona is in hot water this week, Chop. The Tempe Tavern got in trouble recently when it's a bar that saw nearly 200 people cited earlier this month for underage drinking. They had a big issue where cops came in, found a bunch of people underage drinking. Big deal. Got the Tempe Tavern in trouble. Whatever. That's not the biggest problem. The problem is that the Tempe Tavern on Monday of this week posted some new merch.
Okay.
And this new merch was a t-shirt. And it says hashtag Tavern Strong. And the back of the shirt says our 9/11 with an American flag on the back. And they posted this on social media and said they just hit the second tower. Hashtag Tavern Strong.
What?
These idiots who run this bar, who let 200 underage kids in there to drink in their bar and then they get cited for it. They then create a t-shirt that says this was our 9/11 getting busted for serving 200 people and put it up with the Facebook post. They hit the second tower. These are the dumbest. You are so stupid. You should go to jail for this. You should go to jail for being this dumb because you're a threat to society. You're a threat to your own well-being if you are this dumb.
That is
the most tone deaf.
It's so
stupid.
Tone deaf.
Like, I mean, dude, here, look at this right here.
I saw the video of all the kids having a walk.
Our 9/11.
So
they willingly post that.
They're saying them getting popped was their version. Their 9/11.
Their version of 9/11. And they said t-shirts coming next week, available next week for purchase at the bar. And they posted it with the caption, "They hit the second tower." These are the dumbest people I've ever heard of in my life.
Hey, no.
These are way up there. Now they've deleted this post since.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they've been on top of that. They've deleted it since. But some of the comments immediately on the post were really, really bad. Somebody goes, yeah, that's cool. Have fun losing your liquor license and paying all those fines. Somebody has said, this is so tone deaf. It's actually pathetic and hilarious. But this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a company do. Tempe Tavern, no doubt, RIP.
Let's head on over to my favorite generation of people, Gen Z. They have killed off another staple. So they've already killed off napkins and emojis, right? They killed off those things, ankle socks. And now, bedtime stories.
Oh.
Gen Z is not reading to children at night. Gen Z parents have canceled reading bedtime stories to children at night. As the article says, this is a great line. Hi ho, back on the shelf you go. They're not reading. Despite the fact that it has been proven that reading aloud to children is good for development, Gen Z is like, nah, too lazy, not reading to our kids at night. Reading is for learning only, and we're not here to learn.
Did you read to your kids?
Yeah, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Peyton, did you get read to at night?
Maybe when I was like 6 or 7, but I don't remember it being like
well,
that.
Yeah.
So my kids have never wanted me to read books to them at night. They want me to tell stories.
Okay, story time.
I'm just saying we've never actually read like a physical book. Maybe a couple times we have, but instead they want me to. They'll give me a scenario and want me to make up a story, or they'll tell me to tell the story of like Goldilocks. And we haven't done that in a long time. They haven't asked me to just tell them a story in a while. But back when they were younger, they would have me do that. The thing that we do every night still, or Kristen does it, is they need to be sang to sleep. So
yeah,
ever since they were babies, I don't know why, ever since like Addison was a toddler, she would always go to sleep listening to Away in a Manger,
mm-hmm.
on like the song. So after a while, we weren't putting it in there and playing it, but she would want, before she went to bed, she'd want Kristen to come in there and sing Away in a Manger to her. And so now that has stuck around with both girls to where even as they've gotten older, they still every night they can't go to bed without her singing Away in a Manger to them.
Right.
And so that's it. We don't do the story time thing anymore, but it's more just because, I mean, at what point does story time end, do you think?
Yeah, it's
because the youngest is 9. She's 9.
Yeah, that's
9 and 11.
We're way past that.
But they still want the bedtime song.
It's 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5. You know, what's that?
Yeah,
you know,
help their development.
You help their development. 40% of parents, including millennials and Gen Xers, say reading aloud to kids. Only 40% say reading's fun to you. It's not supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you, morons. It's for them.
There's
it doesn't matter with people here. Oh, I don't have enough time in the day. You have exactly the same amount of hours that they had 100 years ago in the day.
See, this was your favorite.
It's an amazing thing. We did not lose hours in the day. We have plenty of time.
This was your favorite generation, and now you're starting to turn on them, I feel like.
Some things.
You are, yeah, there have been a handful of things recently that you've been like, The Gen X in you still comes out in a couple ways
it
with
does.
That. You really want to be the millennial or the Gen Zer, but I still think of Peyton as Gen Z. He's not, but like, are you able to comprehend the fact that Sean and Peyton are technically from the same generation?
That's how it works, though.
Sean is the very first year of millennials. Peyton is the very last year of millennials.
Because 97 is Gen Z. I was born in 96.
And Sean was born in 81, which is the beginning of the millennials.
That
tells me you need to fix the generation tags if you're telling me Sean and Peyton are the same.
That's too far of a difference.
How big does the gap need to be when you start disconnecting generations? 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, because
me and Sean are 8 years apart. You and I are 10 years apart.
Yeah, because like I think boomers are 46 to 64 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 63. So the oldest boomers are much different than the youngest ones.
Oh yeah, way different.
Oldest boomers are, I mean, that's like some are still like two buttoned up IBM, others are flower children.
Yeah. It's a different generation completely in terms of how you grew up and how you do things. So, we mentioned Japan a little bit ago. Trevor Bauer pitching there in Japan. Maybe enjoy some baseball cards, some Trevor Bauer Japanese baseball cards. That's not the new craze. There's a different craze taking over the card collection industry, mm-hmm. Chop. You know what this is?
What's that?
Middle-aged men.
Middle-aged men are
middle-aged men are the new Pokemon. This is, and I'm talking about literally middle-aged men, just your random everyday guys. So we know KNC, they're big fans of collecting sports cards. Maybe we could get them into collecting cards of middle-aged Japanese men. It sounds odd, but this is becoming a legitimate sector of card collecting, according to Collector Club in the UK. They wrote this article that middle-aged men are the new Pokemon, and we're here for it. Move over, Pokemon. There's a new collectible craze sweeping Japan, and it's not what you'd expect. Osan Cards, a trading card series celebrating the humble lives of middle-aged men, has gone from niche curiosity to full-blown cultural phenomenon. first released in 2021. The Osan cards combine the appeal of TCGs, which I don't know what that means, with a warm, humorous look at everyday life. Instead of monsters or athletes, these cards feature ordinary men in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, posing proudly with pints, enjoying their hobbies, or simply being their authentic, awkward selves. What began as a novelty item sold in machines has evolved into a viral hit fueled by social media buzz and international curiosity. So what's behind the sudden global interest? Osan is a Japanese term that loosely translates to middle-aged man, often used with a mix of affection and cheekiness. The cards project takes this idea and runs with it, giving these men a spotlight rarely seen in the world of collectibles. Each card features a photo of a real middle-aged Japanese man, a character name, like a little nickname for him, personal stats and hobbies, a fictional power level or ability, and unique quotes or trivia. So these have become like big time in the trading card community in Japan, and they're thought that they're going to be taken over, but like you can look at them here. They are legit. They're like Pokemon cards with middle-aged Japanese men.
That's awesome.
But they're portraits of real guys.
I want this. I want to do this.
And people are falling in love with it. And their thought is that they think it's because it's A, it plays on the card collecting angle, but B, it's like, oh, it's just, this is something. It's sweet. It's everyday life. Let's celebrate these dudes who are just getting by. They're just being good dudes.
We need these for the people at the fan and give them away at events.
Oh, yeah. If we had trading cards.
Yes. Fan trading cards.
Let us know on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053.
Bass will buy up all the black market on them.
Would you want fan trading cards?
Like baseball cards with stats on it?
Have you been listening to the last 3 minutes, mate?
Well, you're talking about Pokemon cards, too. That's different.
Hey, it's after 6:40 on
That's
Thursday.
Different. You were talking about Pokemon cards.
I was talking about them having stats on these cards like baseball cards. He was not listening.
He was not listening. No, he was not listening. So, have you heard of the Hive Systems password table?
No.
So, this is a password table, and it tells you how difficult your password is for hackers to figure out. So, if you have numbers only, anything from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, hackers instantly can get your password. Lowercase letters, anything from 5 or less instantly, right? If you have 10 numbers, it can take them a day, right, to get your password. But this is cool. Like, so if your password for your bank or whatever is 9 characters long, has upper and lowercase letters and symbols with numbers as well, and if it's 9 characters long, it'll take them 11,000 years to break your password.
Okay, so mine is 9 characters long.
All right.
And I do have upper and lowercase letters, and I have numbers, but that's it. I don't have symbols.
9 characters long, upper, lowercase, and numbers.
Is there a website for it?
I would just go to Google the Hive Systems passwords table.
Okay.
So you said it's 9 characters long, yep, upper and lowercase, and numbers. Yep. Upper, 3,000 years.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Mine, I have symbols in mine as well. And it says 56 million years for mine.
Wow, so mine's not as good as yours.
It's got like 11 or 12 characters in it. If you have 12 characters and you have numbers, upper and lowercase, and then symbols, 3 billion years. And if it's 12 characters or more. Pretty cool.
That's enough. That is pretty cool. That's pretty good. All right, let's go to the world of, as we do the junk tour here on 105.3, let's go to the world of just insane punishments.
All right.
For coming from schools these days, after I almost got us in trouble at the school the other day. So there is a Missouri family that a Missouri mom and her teenage son are suing the school for suspending him after he made a gun out of Dr. Pepper cans. Like, he made a something that looked like a gun out of Dr. Pepper cans. That's bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that on school campus. They tell you can't do it. The problem is he didn't do this on campus. He did it at home. They're suspending him for making a gun out of Dr. Pepper cans that he made and kept at home and did not bring to school, but he posted it on Snapchat. And so because he posted it on Snapchat, they're saying that he needed to be suspended. Now, here's what it looks like. I'll show it to you. It's literally just made to look like an assault rifle. Like, it's Dr. Pepper cans lined up to look like a rifle, and then he posted the picture of it on Snapchat.
So it doesn't, it didn't actually, he didn't pull a James Carney from In the Line of Fire and make an actual gun.
No, this is just, he lined up Dr. Pepper cans to make it look like it was a gun, and he posted it on Snapchat and with no message or anything else, and he got suspended. 2024, the 13-year-old boy glued Dr. Pepper cans together in the shape of a rifle as part of a viral Ken Art trend. According to Reason, once the boy, referred to as WG for legal purposes, had finished the project, he posted it to Snapchat to share with his friends. The photo was seen by a parent of another student at the school who reported it. The next day, WG's mother, Riley Grundin, received a call from the principal alerting her that her son...
Why did they give her name? They're trying to hide his name. Why would you give his her last name?
Because I think they're clearly showed, like, the G is his last name, but I think the bigger issue is what's his full name or what's his first name. But Grundin ended up meeting with school officials the following day, including the principal and superintendent, who informed her that her son would be suspended for 3 days for cyberbullying.
Yeah, I got a problem. That's
an issue. You can't punish a kid for something like that.
No, you can't. Happens. You can't. You're overstepping your bounds as a school.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not cyberbullying. First of all, it's not cyberbullying. All right. You posted a photo with no caption. That's not cyberbullying. Second of all, you stay in your lane. Now, I understand, like, schools have to be, like, super careful when it comes to weapons. I totally get that. But doing something that's off campus, I don't know. I have a problem with that.
214, In the Line of Fire reference, WTF, how old are you, Chop?
It's a good movie. That's Clint Eastwood. It's a good movie. It's a solid movie, okay? I'm not going to let you hit me on that one. That's a solid movie. Sean and RJ here, 105 Through the Fan. That is the Junk Drawer. That has been the commercial-free expressway. Big 8 o'clock hour coming your way next. We got a G-bag fight to get into. Why I love this one aspect of the Cowboys draft, but what happened with the Dallas Stars last night? It's all coming next to the Fan.